History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant Lugie evening. If you were at the Yankee game, hopefully, if that was your intention, you got there to get the George Costanza Calzone bobblehead, which obviously is a huge Seinfeld fan. If you've listened to the show for more than 5 minutes, you know I often quote it. We had Jerry on earlier in the year, which was a huge thrill for me. And when I saw that they were doing it, a couple years ago they did the one where George was sleeping under his desk, right? And now the Calzone, which of course Larry David voices George Steinbrenner. Big Stein wants his Calzone. It's the Peter Pocket. It's tremendous stuff. And credit to the Yankees and whoever came up with that. And then they were also selling eggplant calzones at Yankee Stadium. And look, it ended up being the best part of the game because the Yankees were completely and utterly lifeless. And the huge story that comes out of the game outside of that, because you weren't able to get any kind of momentum going into this Red Sox series, you lost 2 out of 3 to a mid-Astro team. I mean, they could literally finish under 500 and still win the division because the American League East is essentially the NFC South, where you're going to get a team finish under 500, win the division in that spot in the NFL. And you could see that here in baseball because the Mariners stink, the Rangers stink, and the Astros they're all right. They're not your older brother's Astros. And the Astros and Yankees split their season series. But to me, the Yankees are a better team. That should not have been the case. Like, they should have handled their business with Cole on the mound. And this is the type of game that worries you come October, where you have a stud on the mound, you have an ace on the mound, you have a number one on the mound, and the bats just don't show up. And now you enter the biggest series of the year against a Red Sox team that has been on a heater for months with a little dip a couple weeks ago, but they've righted the ship and they come in playing really good baseball, confident baseball. And to me, this is where the Yankees have to get their lick back. They have to get their revenge. Like, I'm thinking about it in terms of a sweep. Maybe you say, oh, that's crazy, Tom, a sweep. Well, you know what? They swept you. So why about you return the favor? How about you return the favor? And I know the pitching is a little bit up in the air right now, and maybe the Yankees aren't in the best position right now to sweep, but you know what? If you have an ugly weekend here, you're going to be looking up at Boston. Now, I'm still very confident that the Yankees are going to win the division. In fact, I think it's going to be Yankees in first, Red Sox in second, and Tampa in third. To the point where a couple people were annoyed about that statement. Well, how could you discredit the Rays? Well, I'm not necessarily discrediting them completely. I do give them credit for the success they have had this year and in general as a franchise, considering their lack of resources. You know, they essentially have a GoFundMe account to sign free agents. So they're not working with the same things that the Yankees are working with, the Dodgers are working with, the Mets are working with, the Phillies are working with, the Blue Jays are working with. So it's a credit to them and their system and their culture and the way they go about their business that they're in first place and that they've had success. They've gotten to a World Series. So my hats are off to them. And Caminero could easily be, if not the MVPs, right there with Alvarez. So he's having a monster year. So they have a little bit of star power. But overall, to me, the two best teams in the American League are the Yankees and the Red Sox. In fact, I think one of those two teams, and I lean Yankees, are going to the World Series. I don't think it's going to be Tampa. I don't think it's going to be the White Sox. I don't think it's whoever's going to come out of the American League West, in all likelihood Houston. I don't think any one of those teams are going to the Fall Classic. I think it's going to either be the Yankees, slight lean to them, or the Red Sox. And the Red Sox are getting reinforcements back. Roman Anthony, Trevor Story, IKF. So they're going to only get better down the stretch. But I ultimately see it playing out where we get to the final two series of the year. Remember, Yankees, Rays, second to last series, 4-game set, similar to this one against Boston with a doubleheader. So 4 games in 3 days. I think when we get to that point on the calendar, late September, all three teams, like they are now, are going to be within spitting distance of each other. And it's going to be awesome. Like, baseball is going to be thrilled. They're going to get a photo finish for the American League East with the Yankees, Red Sox, and Rays. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Connecticut. Joe joins us next here on After Hours. What's up, Joe?
Tommy, hey. How you doing? Love the show, man.
Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. All in on your diner or pizzeria idea. I'll make the trip out there if you do that. 100%.
Appreciate 100%. You. Thank you.
at the game last night with Dad, secured the bobbleheads.
Nice.
That was a must.
Yep.
Was a little worried about the weather, but we got the game in, got on the Jumbotron with my father after 28 years. So it was a good night.
Oh, that's awesome. You got on the, that's a great, that to me, listen, a little bit of a rain delay. You got the bobblehead, the Calzone Costanza bobblehead, and you got on the Jumbotron. That's a perfect night, other than the fact that the Yankees lost. But as far as your individual experience and all that, was sounds like it was great.
It was fantastic. Had the ice cream chicken bucket. That's a must.
How is that, by the way? Because I've been meaning to either have somebody bring me it or if I go to a Yankee game to try it. But I've been itching to know what that tastes like since they brought it in this year.
It is excellent. I'll tell you, it is definitely. It was only $10. First of all,
that's good.
Quality stuff. Quality stuff. Real. If you got a sweet tooth, you got to go for it.
Definitely.
Yeah, I've been planning that all year, so got that. Spencer Jones throws me a ball. I was sitting in right field.
Nice.
And unfortunately, but I missed it. There was a billion other people around me. But
by missed it, you mean you dropped it or you just weren't able to get to it?
I kind of lumbarded it.
Yeah,
so
it happens.
It was, but not, no offense to him, But that's actually why I'm calling. I think, a lot of noise around Lombard, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
I think this time of year especially, you're going to hear a lot, and that's magnified. But 21-year-old rookie, I feel, I think it's a tough time of year, to be putting him in this situation. I think it would have been a lot better if the Yankees maybe called him up earlier in the season, obviously.
Right.
I think a lot of us probably agree with that.
Yep.
To let him work through these things. But I think it's just a tough part of the year. I mean, I love the kid. I think he's doing a great job, obviously being so new and so young. But I don't know. I really don't know if, sitting him a game is going to do anything mentally. Maybe it will.
Can't hurt. I mean, that would be my follow-up to that would be, it can't hurt. I mean, you know what I mean? And if he can't handle it, then, like I said, he's not ready for the stage. But I don't know how many more times you're going to throw him out there. What if he goes 7-for-7, whatever? What if the boo birds start to rain down? He's not hitting either. Yeah. And, yeah, I think he's a very talented guy, and he obviously set the bar very, very high. He had essentially a perfect debut, but I don't think anybody's immune from, hey, we're going to sit you for a day, get your mind right. And like you said, and I agree with you, being thrusted into the situation, especially with a team, and they've played a lot better since he's come up here, but a team that wasn't scoring a lot of runs, a fan base that was very upset with the player that was manning that position for years. So you're not named Anthony Volpe, you named George Lombard Jr., so you get this King's welcome. But now you've kind of hit a little bit of a speed bump, and I wonder if it's kind of snowballing mentally for him, and if he gets a day off, it'll kind of ease his mind, and he can come back, and we can see the player we first saw here.
Yeah, I think if they did it in June, I think if they bring him in June, let him work through these things, it's not so magnified at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would think it would be a little more fair to have him work through it. But I'm rooting for him, obviously, diehard Yankee fan. Right. And I love the kid. I think he's got a bright future. Hopefully he can work things out and maybe, a day or two here and there.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll serve him well. Hopefully Boone, sees the light. So, but I wanted to thank you for having me on. And it was a great night. And let's go Yanks.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a great night there. You got a little Calzone bobblehead. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I've talked about it a lot in the beginning of the year, and then it just kind of, a million things start happening in the world of sports. Knicks won a championship. We had a lot going on. And I meant to not necessarily send Rosenberg out there, but to have Paul get somebody to get the chicken bucket to me. But I assume it would melt too. So the reality is I just have to go to a Yankee game. That's what it boils down to, which I like doing. I mean, I am a Met fan, but the reason I like going to the Yankee games, and I've talked about this a lot, is, well, quite frankly, I enjoy the nightlife that's there. The bars on River Ave are phenomenal. I mean, they're absolute stands, Billy's, top-notch. I mean, it's like Mardi Gras after every game and before every game. The scene there, which is what I want for Citi Field, I mean, you leave a Met game, and if you want a soft pretzel or a hubcap, well, you've come to the right place. Outside of that, you can't get a cold one. I mean, there's nothing to do. And look, there's a bunch of hot chicks walking around. Maybe you got a hall pass. Maybe you just got a night out with the boys. Maybe you're single, whatever. You went to singles night, which is at City Field tonight.
I'm a big late night eater.
Yes, I am. And when I go to singles night, which I'm not single, but those that went to singles night tonight, I'm sure after the game they want a little bit of a soda pop, a little bit of grandpa's cough medicine. And you leave the Met game and it's a ghost town. It's like a scene out of Fallout. I mean, there's nobody around. It's like, what is this? Where Yankee Stadium, it's thunderous. It's exactly, so if you need to know, like, oh, what's a Lou Gehrig scene, right? Lou Gehrig talks, that's a Lou Gehrig scene. Packed, tons of people, loud music, the vibes, the energy, the dopamine hits. That's exactly what I yearn for in life. And the Yankees have it. So I enjoy very much, and I don't know, basically all my friends are Yankee fans. So I don't have a lot of friends that are Met fans. So if I wanted to hang out with my friends and go to a game, I could do that. And then I could get this, because we're getting to the point, not quite, but look, if I end up going there for, would I go there for a remote? I don't know if I do a show there, but let's say I did during the postseason. I'm not going to want the ice cream chicken bucket in October. I'm not one of these maniacs like Evan that has ice cream when it's cold out. I'm not doing that. I don't get down that way. Even an ice cream chicken bucket. So I'm going to have to go within the next couple weeks. But I definitely want to try it. I thought it was, because obviously the chicken buckets are huge sellers, but to have a little bit of a twist on it with the ice cream is very smart by the Yankees. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Mark. He joins us next. What's going on, Mark?
Well, you know, big news today. You know, GTA 6 trailer dropped today, 26-minute trailer.
I did not see it yet, but I saw a little snippet. I saw like a 30-second one on social media. Yeah.
Mind blown.
Right? You know what it made me feel, Mark, though? It made me feel a little bit old because I remember when my mind was blown with the Liberty City game, I think it was called Vice City, San Andreas. Yep. And now I see this game and I'm like, it blows those games out of the water.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I mean, obviously it's going back to Vice City, but like there's another game called Red Dead Redemption, which is like, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but like that had supposedly 55,000 animations from the characters in the game walking around.
Crazy.
This has 600,000. So they're making the world just so much more breathable. You can walk into any building. Like, it's crazy, right? But a lot of Yankee fans, Lugie, are kind of saying, like, you know, on Twitter and stuff and everything, they're kind of just like, you know, Boone doesn't deserve to be back. But, I mean, let's just be honest. Like, what he's done this year almost guarantees his job to be back.
100%.
If you take a look, at what has kind of befallen the Yankees this year, it's not on him. He's done, and I don't really say nice things about him, but I think he's done an admirable job navigating the rock slide of injuries that has befallen the club, right?
I think it's his best managerial job as far as regular season in his Yankee tenure.
Yeah, and I mean, you can say what you want about him in terms of, like, obviously him making bad decisions. Every manager has them.
Yep.
He might have more than others, but you also can't blame him for Cashman not going out there getting arms and him trying to navigate this really, really thin bullpen with short arms. That, like, they just signed Michael Fulmer off the couch.
What a story he's got. I mean, a million teams.
He was a DoorDash driver prior to this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, listen, they got a lot of injuries, and they obviously have to now with Cruz out and all that. And, yeah, look, Boone can only manage the players that are out there, and Cashman's got to go, and they didn't get him a catcher. So, yeah, I think Boone has done his best job when you consider all the injuries and the fact that this team's only a couple of games out of first place in early September or as we're approaching early September.
Yeah, and, I mean, will they exit the playoffs early? Will they go on a run? Like, who knows? But, again, like, to me, like, when I look at the team and what they're doing, like, Judge is coming back, but he's not going to be the savior. And so I doubt he'll be October ready, so they have to play him because they don't have enough.
Right.
If they get pitching, it'll be good. Could it be like the Houston Astros when they went on a run and they had great pitching and their offense was good, but it just carried? Lombard and Jones, the errors are there, but you just got to continue to play them. That's it. You can't – I understand with the sitting them – and all that.
Well, Jones is going to be interesting because when Judge comes back, then you're going to have to try to figure out how to get him playing time, which there are ways to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I know. I think I've
turned the corner, too.
Yeah, he has. And I like the idea of playing Jones over Grisham, or a little bit of a time split there, because you got a DH Ben Rice. I mean, he can't play the field at all. And Garcia has shown you that he could play first base better than advertised. And Stanton, we know,
Garcia's
is not coming back.
Unreal, man.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think that's going to go down as Brian Cashman, one of his best trades. I mean, this guy is tailor-made for this for this park. I think he's tailor-made for this city. I think he's a dog. And he got him under contract for another year or so. And I think this career year he's having is sustainable. I think he's turned the corner, and it's going to make you forget about Stanton.
Not forget about him, but it's going to make you be like, well, we have another guy that can mash 30 homers. But Grisham hits in the playoffs unless he lands on a milk carton, because, like, obviously, like, he is very, very streaky. And obviously, when we gave him that massive deal for the 1 year deal, I knew it wasn't going to age well. But it's just same thing with Jazz. Like, if Jazz can continue his, like, 70% swing and getting on base, and just getting on base and not really worrying about the results, I mean, it could be interesting, because their offense could score runs. But it's just, when I look at this team, man, and I looked at the last, like, 15 years, and I'm like, this is the best pitching they've ever had going into the playoffs. Like, when they beat Kansas City and Cleveland, if they play the Chicago White Sox, and let's just say the Boston Red Sox, to go to, obviously, and then, to obviously go to the World Series, that means they would have to get the first place seed.
Yeah, they have to win the division.
If not, they play, let's just say, Boston, they play Chicago, and they play Houston.
It gets easier as you go, by the way.
It gets easy, right. So it's like, just like a couple years ago, everyone saw the writing on the wall. Yanks are going to the World Series. Even with Soto, they were like, there's no team in there, and they had their fair share of problems too. You know, every single year, Boone at the end, the Yankees go cold, right? It happened.
Oh, yeah.
But then the playoffs came around, and they were like, you know what? There's no team that could really match them. And for me, I've been saying all year long, I think it's Yankee-Milwaukee World Series. That's what I think.
Right. Wow, that's a good. Listen, I would take the field over the Dodgers. That I've said that before, so take that for hate. Either the Dodgers not making the World Series or just not winning the World Series, but I would take the field. Look, it is hard to three-peat. It is. Ask the Chiefs, and I know they got to the Super Bowl, but it is incredibly difficult. And I know they're loaded and all that, but you know what? It is very tough to do that. Mark, and I appreciate the call and the conversation. Makes me want to play Grand Theft Auto now. I haven't played video games in forever, but Grand Theft Auto, just the franchise, and I'm old enough to remember when Grand Theft Auto had the bird's eye view, and the game was kind of like, the first couple of versions of it was just terrible, and then obviously they made it more 3D or whatever you want to call it, and it blew me away at the time. I'm like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Like, there are a few games in my life that I played and I went, holy bleep, this is just insane. One of them is, there was a certain year where Madden just took this enormous leap, and I went, this is going to be, and that's when the game really like started taking off, because the early versions of Madden were good, but then when the graphics and gameplay got just insanely really good, the game took off. So that's one of them. The Grand Theft Auto, I think it's called Liberty City, I think it's the third one, where they just changed to like a 3D thing. That's the second one. Call of Duty, GoldenEye, and Halo. Those are the five games for me where I was like, what? Halo, when I first played it, I was like, what is this? And then I played it like basically every night with my friends. We would play, like, you know, obviously, whatever, 2-on-2 or whatever the case may be. But now GoldenEye doesn't quite stand the test of time, which is unfortunate because it's an all-time game. But, I mean, how could it, though? I mean, if you Call of Duty, you can't play those games back-to-back and tell me that GoldenEye stands up to Call of Duty. But that's just the way it goes. Pong doesn't stand up to, I mean, I think about it, if you like played video games when they first came out and you're like, damn it, why wasn't I born in a different era? Because now, something to be said about, like, you could pop in like Mortal Kombat or games from back in the day and they're still fun and cool to play as long as the gameplay is good and the nostalgia is there. I think it's awesome. But like graphics wise, you can't touch it. But yeah, I saw a little bit of the trailer for GTA and I was like, this is a video game? I'm like I'm watching a movie practically. And it took them long enough. I feel like it's been forever since Grand Theft Auto, the last version, was out there to purchase. And I know there's been a lot of talk and a lot of hype around this game. We'll see if it ultimately lives up to it. But based on the part that I saw in the trailer, graphics-wise, it's definitely going to live up to it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Apparently, I have been accused of mispronouncing things in the past, so it wouldn't stun me if I also screwed this word up. But Brian in Helsinki I think you're going to tell me that I mispronounced Mahjong wrong.
Hey, Tommy, what's going on,
hey,
man?
What's happening?
Not much. 26 years I've been listening to WFAN, never called. I just missed my flight from Helsinki to Italy, and I'm listening to you, and I just have to ask, how do you pronounce the tile game you play with your in-laws?
Yeah, I pronounce it, maybe the rest of the world doesn't, but I pronounce it Mahjong.
I think it's Mahjong. So anyway, while I'm waiting on the phone
it
here,
yeah.
I'm doing a Google search. Like,
hold on, he might have said it. You could pop the thing back on. I thought I heard him maybe curse there. You could, KP, just throw the phone back on. I think you might have slipped and said a bad word there, but it's all good. Yeah, no, how'd you miss your flight, though? What happened?
How do you think, man? You were just in.
Weather.
You were just in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
How do you think I missed my flight?
Oh, because it was
years,
a horrible rain.
30
yeah.
years I'm traveling. 30 years I'm traveling, and I go. I have a logistics person I was out with last night. She's like, "Don't miss your flight." I'm like, "I would never miss my flight." She's like, "Famous last words, Brian." Well, don't you know? Woke up at 7 o'clock. My flight was at 7 o'clock
oh,
in the morning. So yeah.
Okay, you overslept it. I thought it was weather related.
Not,
yeah, that's a tough one.
I wish.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing, too, that's been, and I, yeah, no, it's Mahjong, but I pronounce it Mahjong. And this is what, dude, he's trying to be Mad Dog. I'm not trying to be anybody. I'm just pronouncing the damn thing the way I thought it was pronounced. I thought it was Mahjong. So it's Mahjong. Okay, you're right. I was wrong on that one. It's Mahjong. Either way, my in-laws don't let me win. So either way, I got a gripe with them. You can pronounce it whatever you want to pronounce it. Bottom line is, I've been with my wife now for, I should probably know this off the top of my head, what year are we in? Let's carry the one. Like 11 years, something like that. We've been married for, I think, 8 years, something like that. Again, these are things I should rattle off quickly, but yet here we are. And I've obviously known my in-laws this entire time, or at least close enough to the amount of time I've known her. And we've been playing Mahjong ever since I met them. And I've never beaten, no joke, I've never, ever, ever once won the damn game. Not once. Can you let me win? I might be seeing my in-law. They might be coming here, though, in a couple months. But Mahjong, for sure. Now, maybe not my father-in-law or mother-in-law, because they're afraid to fly. But I think my sister-in-law is coming out here. Or at least she floated out there. And this, my in-laws are kind of always capable of this, where they float something out there, and then they ghost you for, like, months. That's just the way. I think it's just a California thing. I think, really, honestly, I don't think it's anything necessarily that their personalities. It's just a different world out there. It really is. I mean, the weather's always nice. The ground moves. So it's a different type of mentality than what you have here in New York. 888, but it is Mahjong. You are right. You're right to correct me. And I'm sorry you missed your flight. That's a tough thing. So when I went to Nashville, I actually, because I got a little bit nervous with the weather. And even though I saw that I was flying out around, this was last Thursday. I was flying out right around 2 o'clock in the afternoon from out of LaGuardia. And I saw the weather and it seemed like it wasn't going to start or be bad till 5 o'clock. But I got the email from the airline, hey, if you want to switch, free of charge. So I went to see if there was anything that could work, you know, earlier in the morning, and there was. It was like a 7:30 in the morning flight, free of charge. But I was like, damn, you know, with these hours, with these after hours, you know, I work till either midnight, 2 a.m. or 5 a.m., so you could guess that I'm probably not getting to bed much earlier than 3 a.m. every night. So a 7:30 flight, got to be there around whatever the heck, 6. I got to leave. So I was like, oh boy, I guess I could move the flight earlier. But I'm worried that I'm either not going to get sleep or, yeah, oversleep, not get your alarm to enter your brain so you can wake up. So that was my trepidation. But you know what? I didn't want to get delayed. I didn't want to miss the trip and get it canceled. So I erred on more the side of caution. And luckily, I was able to get sleep. I woke up and I made my flight. And you know what the best part of an early flight is, for those of you that travel a lot, the best part? Because, yeah, I talk for a living, but I can't stand people that are chatty. I can't. Chiacchiori, I call them, chatterbox. Shut up! Stop talking! I'm not a big fan of people that are talkative. I know you hear me on the radio, you're probably like, this guy's really chatty off air. And I am. But I'm chatty in the situations where, all right, I'm with my friends, right? We're hanging out at a bar. Yeah, then I'm chatty. Because you're at a crowded bar that's loud and everyone's chatting. When you're on a flight and people are trying to sleep or you don't know where they're coming from, layovers, it's like, shut up. Stop talking. Like, have a little self-awareness. Those are the people that drive me nuts that have no self-awareness. So, but anyway, the good part about a flight at 7 o'clock in the morning is everybody's tired and nobody is talking. Beautiful. Pop on the girl next door, stare at Alicia Cuthbert for 2.5 hours, and I was in Nashville. Beautiful. And nobody talked. I loved it. And it was the quickest that I've ever gotten on a plane and gotten off the plane, meaning once you taxi and you get to the gate, to the point where I couldn't even, I was like, holy crap, I got to get up and get my bag and get out of here. So I love that. I hate when you get to the gate and you sit there for 3 hours because everybody stands up immediately, which annoys me. It's like, why are you standing up? I know we're on a flight, but it's like, okay, and sitting down for a while. But still, you standing up isn't going to make the line to get out of here any quicker. It's awkward. Everybody gets a little testy. So anyway, I did the right thing, and I ultimately did not miss my flight. But that's always the worst. The worst. And the weather continues to be, I hate complaining about the weather, really. It's like complaining about just something that you can't control. But we've had one of our rainiest seasons, summer-wise, in years. And that certainly affects things like flights. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Justin. He joins us next from Long Island. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
I wanted to talk about the Giants, but props to Brian for getting it in with the chick from logistics and lifting the flight.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, listen, if you're going to have a situation like that pop up where you miss your flight, at least you got the mix. You know what I mean? Like, feel like it's a trade-off.
Yeah, right.
The logistics worked in that situation. Like, I checked the logistics.
Yes,
he checked the logistics from where he was standing logistically.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, he logistically was in striking distance.
He logistically took care of business.
Correct.
So anyway, I want you to start beating the drum as positive, Tommy.
Okay.
Giants need to make a move for Christian Gonzalez.
Okay.
With this cash rush, they're talking about an impasse with the contract, and they're talking Joey Porter with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
No. Christian Gonzalez, even if it's a number one, I know 2027 draft is...
But you're hoping you're hoping to have a big year here, and that pick is either mid to late round. So I have no problem giving up a one because I have these giant expectations.
Either that or who you drafting that's better than Christian Gonzalez nobody that you're drafting.
Right.
A shutdown corner in this league, if you're going to pay a guy, that's what you pay. If you got to give up a one, you got to give up maybe a three or a four or a following year's two, whatever it is. You go get that guy with this pass rush. It changes the entire... defense.
No doubt about it, Justin, and I appreciate the call. And look, maybe I'll start getting on that drum because the Giants secondary is the one unit on this team that scares me. The special teams are going to make leaps and bounds improvements from the embarrassment that existed under Dable's watch. Harbaugh, obviously, a special teams guy, so I expect it to be aces. I expect it to be suit up, top notch, and one of the strengths of this team, the defensive line, which you just alluded to. Even with Dexter Lawrence, who, let's be honest, okay, double teamed a lot last year, opened up things for Burns, et cetera, but still, I felt like a player that was a little bit checked out, a little bit frustrated, wanted the money, and you know what I mean? And so I don't know how much of a presence he really was going to be going forward if he got his money. Time will tell in Cincinnati, but this defensive line, even without Dex, should be a strength. The linebacking core should be leaps and bounds better. McFadden back, Edmonds now in here. Arvell Reese, which I'm not going to put a ton of stock, as I don't, in what I see in the preseason, because Abdul Carter looked like a video game last year, and we know he had a disappointing rookie year. But still, Edmonds, McFadden, Reese, the linebacking core should be a hell of a lot better. But then I look at that secondary for the Giants, and it scares me. It keeps me up at night. It worries me. I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts, and not the J-Lo butt either. Not a butt with two T's, the butt with one T. So it's one of those situations where I worry about it. Now, there are ways to nullify it. Now, Christian Gonzalez, I think ultimately the Patriots are going to keep him. But one of the ways to help a defense that has, you know, can't stop the run, secondary is a little bit of a problem or a bit of a problem, a way that you can nullify that, two ways, pass rush and on offense, run the ball, clock control, which I think is going to be the identity of this team. Like, a lot has been made about Neighbors, a lot has been made about Odell, a lot has been made about this wide receiver core, but I think the bread and butter, Jackson Dart, of course, the bread and butter of this Giant team under Harbaugh, I think, is going to be smash mouth, run the ball, just like you saw in Baltimore. And that helped Lamar, with also his amazing talent, to win multiple MVPs. And I think that's what the formula that Harbaugh and the Giants are going to utilize on offense. You sign a fullback, you have this deep running back room. You have a smash mouth, hard running style, and I think that's going, and then you play action it or you play off of it, and then you hit your tight ends, you hit Likely, you hit Theo, and then of course you're going to feed Neighbors as well, but that to me is just a blessing and a bonus that you have that with your run first mentality on offense. And by the way, that includes Dart running the ball. Because I don't think they're going to put the training wheels on him. I don't think they're going to neuter him. I think they're going to allow Jackson Dart to do his thing and to run. Because taking that out of his game would just be idiotic. Idiotic. Now, you want to say he's got a slide, he's got to get out of bounds, can't lead with his head, fine. But taking the running game out for Dart to, meaning him running himself, taking that out of his repertoire, out of his arsenal, would be counterproductive. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is a Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. If you're on hold, we'll get to you in the final segment. Yankees, Mets, Giants, Jets, whatever is on your mind for the final 30 minutes. Keith McPherson comes your way at 2 a.m. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, they do say in life things come in threes, and unfortunately, that has happened over the last couple of days. First, we lost Dolly Parton, you know, country music legend. Really an icon, did so much for charity, you know, to cross over into sports, and just one of the most beloved figures, I would say, in our country's history. And that was very unfortunate. I know she got sick. She battled the cancer for a little bit and got to 80, which is a great run. And she certainly left her mark on this country, and certainly with country music. I mean, I don't have to tell you, I was just in Nashville for a couple of days, and the boom in country music and how popular it is these days. And now some people would argue it's not country music, it's more pop music these days. But either way, I mean, the tourism is up in Nashville year in and year out. I mean, every year I go there, which I've gone in the last couple of years, they build a new bar, and it's insane. Like, it's just Broadway is continuing to grow and grow and grow and grow. And look, the Jets are going to be down there in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people in our audience that are going to go see the Jets in Nashville week one, because it's a great road trip. You get to go down to Nashville, hopefully for a couple days. I would advise, if you could swing it with work, to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you get Thursday night out, Friday night out, Saturday night out. And if you have anything left, you go watch the Jets for a couple hours, and then you can fly out either Sunday night or Monday morning. But then we also lost Tim Curry, and I talked about that last night as far as Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I tried to think about another movie, you know, outside of Star Wars, but the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where people would dress up in costume and just literally put on, like, performances inside the movie theater. You know, that was a movie, really the first of its kind as far as a cult classic, and the midnight showings of Rocky Horror Picture Show were apparently just legendary in terms of the crowd interaction and just the scene that was involved in that movie. And obviously, Curry also, was involved, the clown in that, and then Home Alone 2, which obviously is not as good as the first one, but still pretty good, all things considered. And he had a role in that movie as well. And then Pete Cullen died today, or yesterday, as it were, and he was the voice of Optimus Prime. And if you're unfamiliar with Optimus Prime and Transformers, I mean, that was kind of right in the wheelhouse of when I was growing up. You know, it was Transformers, it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and there, we all know the Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox, although I think she was only in the first one. But the Michael Bay, the newer, which Cullen did voice Optimus Prime in those. But we know more of the newer Transformer movies. But when I was growing up, and I must have seen this movie like 400 times, but there was a cartoon Transformers movie. It came out in the 80s. It was cheesy in terms of, like, you get that cheesy, like, 80s music. But it was really good. Really good. And like I said, I probably watched that movie. I get this, kids. Nowadays, you just turn on the television and you go to a streaming service. You go to Netflix, you go to Paramount, you go to HBO Max, you go to all these streaming services, and the world is your oyster. It's all at your fingertips. Well, when I was growing up in the 90s, we didn't have streaming services. What we had was, get this, a public library or a Blockbuster. And you're thinking to yourself, what's a library? Well, it has books where you can read stuff. And it also had movies. And your local mom and pop movie store or movie rental place, whatever you want to call it, or Blockbusters, which is obviously more the commercial chain places. But yeah, you would rent movies. Think of it. And when you rented them, they asked you to be kind and rewind. Think about that. Like, you actually had to do work when you had to watch movies back in the day. You had to rewind the movie. But yeah, so I rented this movie, the Transformers movie. It was a cartoon, legitimately like 6,000 times. And I would watch it over and over and over and over again. I wasn't even that young, I got to be honest with you, because I always feel for parents when they're like, yeah, we watched Zootopia 2 for the 900th time, right? Or Frozen for the 1 billionth time. Because, you know, kids, they don't process that they are watching something for the 8 millionth time and that somehow could be annoying to their parents. You don't know that as a kid. But when I was watching this movie, I was more of like a teenager. So I wasn't annoying anybody. I just went into a separate room and watched it. But yeah, so and I actually checked to see if he was 80 years old. Because Tim Curry and Dolly Parton were both 80. But Pete Cullen was 85. So again, another long run. Had a lasting impact. Voiced a lot of things, but mostly known for Optimus Prime and Transformers. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Something I didn't get to yesterday, Michael Jordan likely not coming back to NBC as far as their coverage of basketball. Not missing much there. I mean, MJ, just look, great players. Now, I will say this about Brady. I think Brady has gotten better. Early on, look, Brady, much like me, an acquired taste. You hear his voice and you're like, really? Not really a broadcasting voice. And his first year wasn't great. But I thought Brady got better, and I expect him to get better and better and better. The Jordan stuff on NBC was just, it didn't hit. And as much as it's Michael Jordan, and of course, if you could have Michael Jordan on your broadcast, you have him on your broadcast. But it wasn't good, and I'm not surprised at all that, at least based on reports, it is going in the direction that Jordan will not return to the coverage of the NBA on NBC. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. In the short term, I think the Yankees are ruining George Lombard Jr. In the short term. You know, I came on the air last night. I said the Yankees should give Lombard a day off. I thought it was the perfect time for a day off. 5 errors in 5 games. That was going into the game tonight. And I said, look, final game of the series against the Astros. If he commits another error, now you go into this series against the Red Sox, the biggest series of the year, and Lombard and his struggles defensively, by the way, he's struggling offensively too, but defensively, to me, it's a bigger story because you assume, based on his pedigree and also what you saw early on, you figured he's going to be a great defensive player. So this is really a shock to the system that this is happening. I thought if you gave him a day off, let him clear himself mentally, and then you go into a series against the Red Sox, clean slate, it would be the right thing for George. And the best thing for George. And I said, if he commits another error in this final game of the series against Houston, it could snowball and become out of control. Big story. I mean, you go into this Red Sox series, it's always heightened, things that happen in a Red Sox series. People are gassed up for Boston. And these two teams are fighting for a division title. And I think if he commits another error, you could hear the boo birds. Now, he's got to get over that. It happens to every player in this town. But still, you know, for a young player, it could ruin him in the short term. Long term, I think he's going to be great. But short term, it could ruin him. And Boone was asked after the game, do you think a day off for Lombard would do him good? And Boone said no, which I vehemently disagree with. It can't hurt. What's the worst thing? He can't make an error in the dugout. At least I don't think he can. So you've allowed this now to snowball. 6 errors, 6 games. It's going to be a massive topic here on WFAN. Boone's going to be asked about it before the game. Lombard's going to be asked about it. And you had an opportunity to curtail it and kind of put it to bed a little bit by giving him the day off in the final game against Houston. And the Yankees did not do that. And I think for the short term, they are ruining Lombard. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Sean joins us next here on After Hours. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, Luigi?
Hey, how you doing?
Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I'm here with my son Don. He wants to give you a shout out before we talk about the Yankees.
Yeah, give me. Hey, what's up, bro? Give me. What's your name again? I didn't catch it.
John.
No,
my dad's name is Sean.
And your name is John, right?
Yeah.
And my name is Tommy. So now we're all acquainted.
Okay.
what grade are you in? So, what grade are you in, John? Because the school started, right? You're back at school.
I'm going into sixth.
You're going into fifth grade or sixth grade?
Sixth grade.
Okay, so that for a lot of people, that's middle school. What's your favorite subject in school?
Gym.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, really, yeah, great answer, by the way. And what? And you got a girlfriend? And the girls are treating you all right in school?
Nah, you got
time for that. You got time for that. Don't worry about that. Yeah, you got time for that. Yeah, don't mess around with that. So yeah, so you like gym? That's your favorite topic, and then obviously you love your Yankees.
Yep. Now, George Lombard Jr.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, you have a question for me?
Him, like, how you were saying, like, the long term and, like, the short term. Like, how do you think he's going to be like?
No, I think he's going to be outstanding. I think he's going to live up to the billing. What he's going through right now, to me, feels mental. It does. I mean, he's a young player. I mean, Francisco Lindor went through it this year with the errors and the mental mistakes, and he's a vet, and he's a guy that's a perennial all-star, you know, or should be at least, year in and year out. And even he succumbed to stuff like that. So obviously a kid who's like 21 years old being thrusted into the situation, you know, it's going to happen. But my thinking, though, too, is that, hey, listen, it's only going to get worse here on out, meaning the expectations, the games are only going to get more and more important. You don't have to look any further than this weekend against Boston. And I just thought getting a day off, clear your mind, getting everything right there, and then going into this important series, I just thought that was going to be the best thing for him. Like, sometimes, John, you just need a sick day, and you just tell your parents you're not feeling well. We all know you're feeling fine, and you need to watch. I don't know if the Price is Right is around anymore, but when I was a kid, we would fake sick, and then we watch the Price is Right, because sometimes you just need a mental break. Don't tell your dad I said this, but yeah, that's kind of how I would go about it.
Yeah. About Anthony Volpe, like, all my friends think he's going to, replace Jazz.
Yeah, you know what? I think all your friends are on to something. I appreciate the call, and good luck in school. Somebody asked me this last night. I think Jazz is playing his final season here with the Yankees, and I do think the plan right now, things can change. We're just talking about right now at the end of August, but I think right now the plan is for Anthony Volpe to be the second baseman for the Yankees going forward. I disagree with that. Not saying that Volpe can't be a productive second baseman in his career. I just think that the fit here, I just think he needs a change of scenery. And they can't quit Volpe for whatever reason, but I do think that Volpe, and your friends are right, they're smart. I think Volpe is going to be, at least they're going to try him at second base going forward. I disagree with it. I think he deserves a chance somewhere else. I think that would be the best thing for him. Plus, you're like the local guy. That's a lot of pressure. You know, you go somewhere else where you're not from the Jersey guy or the Staten Island guy or the kid from Queens. That's a lot to live up to. A lot. Because we all want, you know, you all want Volpe to be a thing. I wanted DeVito to be a thing. You want that, of course. You want to see a local guy do well with a local team. We all fall victim to that. But I think if you go somewhere else where you're far away from New Jersey, it's the best thing for your career. Because now it's about going to work and being the best second baseman, assuming he wants to play second base. Maybe somebody will try him out at shortstop, but I think, you know, with his arm strength, it's probably better suited at second base. But a change of scenery would be the right thing. It might feel hyperbolic when I say this or when you hear this, but I think it's spot on. I'm looking at this series for the Yankees as a situation where you're looking at it like you want to sweep. You definitely don't want to split. 3 out of 4, hey, you signed it for that. But sweeping the Red Sox, like getting your lick back, paying them back, making a statement, stamping sort of the fact that, hey, the final month of the year, it's going to run through the Yankees. We're going to win the division. We're going to get revenge on you for what you did to us in Boston. Like, I'm looking at this series coming up, the biggest series of the year, 4 games, 3 days. I look at this as an opportunity for the Yankees, and I know the pitching's a little bit all over the place here, and they had a lifeless performance in the final game of the series against Houston, but this is an opportunity to make your mark, make a statement, get revenge, and sweep the Red Sox, return the favor for what they did to you in Boston. And that's what I'm looking for this weekend. Like, I'm setting my goal and my standard through the roof. They fall short, they fall short. But I'm looking at it, sweep, win those four games, hope that Tampa continues to slide, and we're sitting here next week and the Yankees are in first place. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And the final thing before we get out of here for the week, final after hours of the week, Keith McPherson comes your way at 2 a.m. I'll be back with you Sunday into Monday next week, so we'll obviously have a lot to talk about, including this enormous four-game series from the stadium with the Yankees and the Red Sox, and maybe we get another Judge update. We got a small one last night where Judge is not going to perform or play in rehab games, which I totally understand. I mean, the guy doesn't have to go down to Scranton. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go. This team needs him up here. He doesn't need to play rehab games. And let's be honest, Aaron Judge says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. I mean, nobody's going to tell him no. I know Aaron Boone kind of said, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get here. Well, let me cross it for you. Whatever Aaron Judge wants to do, he's going to do. If he doesn't want to play in these rehab games, then he's not going to play in them. Now, I expect and I predicted that Judge will be back for the series against Tampa, so that's the second to last series of the year. That's my prediction. But yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about over the weekend with the Yankees and Red Sox, and then, of course, Giants and Jets, final preseason game for both. I would play Jackson Dart against the Jets in the final preseason game. I would. He's not a 10-year vet. He's not somebody that's been around the block a million times. It's a new system, a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach. This used to be the dress rehearsal. I know the preseason has become a total farce, just like the Pro Bowl. That's why they got rid of it. But the third game of the preseason used to be the dress rehearsal. This used to be where you saw your starters for a half, three quarters. I'm not saying he's got to play. Jackson Dart's got to play three quarters. But a quarter or two, I think, is good for him. Like, he is learning a new system still, new OC, new head coach, still a young player, second year in the league. I want to play Jackson Dart and want to see Jackson Dart out there in the final preseason game. I'm not one that's worried about him and put him in bubble wrap. I think the injury stuff is completely overblown. I think the blue medical tent stuff is a witch hunt. It's become such a comical situation how they put him under a microscope. It's utterly ridiculous. But Dart needs the reps. He's still learning this new system under a new offensive coordinator. So even though he's going to see a lot of vanilla defenses, fine. But I still want to see him out there. I'm not going to put him in bubble wrap. I'm not going to worry about an injury. Can't do that. If he was a veteran, I understand it. But for a young player, still needs the reps, still needs the work. And I know the Giants have kind of gotten back and forth on it. They've waffled a little bit on it. Harbaugh was even asked about it by Boomer and Geo earlier this week, and they haven't made a decision. Let me make the decision for him. Jackson Dart should be playing in the final preseason game against the Jets. Now, as far as the Jets, I understand that a lot of people are optimistic about him. I've made it pretty clear. I think it's more likely that Aaron Glenn is fired by week six than it is that the Jets win six games. I know there's a lot of optimism. There's a lot of people going through the turnstile. There's a lot of people that are feeling really good about this football team. And maybe you hear me and you say, boy, you're being a hater. Why are you so negative? I thought you were positive, Tommy. Well, what I would say to those people that are saying that is, if the Jets lose in week one, you will be on the side of positive Tommy in this one, because your optimism will turn to pessimism that quickly. But I'm pumped for football. This is the most excited I've been for football season in a very, very long time. I think it's going to be very, very, very exciting from a local perspective. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Nico Scarlatos. My thanks to KP. My thanks to Fleegs. Keith McPherson comes your way next. Thanks to all the listeners, all the callers. We will talk to you Sunday into Monday, right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.